We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast is brought to you by Aspers Casino Newcastle, home of the £4 pint on match day. That's all Newcastle home games and any televised Newcastle fixture. The offer applies from midday until midnight on all draft beers. Be gamble aware, over 18s only. Visit begambleaware.org. Be drink aware, and for details and T's and C's, visit aspersnewcastle.co.uk.
It's the True Faith Newcastle United podcast. This is a preview of Newcastle United at Crystal Palace this Wednesday night, as Newcastle's final six games gets underway in the race for what will probably be sixth place, fifth, a little bit out of our reach most likely. But Newcastle face Palace, and you've got Alex, you've got Audie, Stephen Ord, Simon Campbell and Ez to talk you through what might happen and why in what is a much anticipated fixture, not televised of course in the UK, very frustrating for lots of people that, but a massive game nonetheless. These shows, these previews that we do, they are out every single game that Newcastle play. So if you like what we do, if you like the previews, if you like this show, come and join us on Patreon. Link in the description to this podcast for that one. One more bit of advertisement from me before we get underway is we are doing a live show at Aspers Casino Newcastle this Friday night before Sheffield United at home. Still some tickets left. Would love to see you along as we build up to what should be a really exciting end of the season. And we'll hopefully see you there. Let's get into this one, though. Is this game the key to the top six? If you look at Newcastle's fixtures, they basically have two groups of three. They have Palace, Sheffield United and Burnley, which seems like an easier set of fixtures because they're all bottom half Premier League sides. In fact, two of them look like they're going to be relegated Premier League sides. Then we have another three, Brighton, Manchester United and Brentford, which on paper looks a lot more difficult with two of those fixtures being away as well. Four away games left to go this season, two home games. I'm kind of thinking that this game, this Palace game, is possibly the hardest game that we'll have left based on current form, based on record at the ground at Selhurst Park we're going to. Stephen, we've been chatting today and you very much feel like this one would be an absolutely brilliant draw if you could get it, mate. Do you want to expand on that for us?
Well, walking out of the ground against Tottenham, I felt like it was a game that I was really looking forward to because Palace looked to be in absolutely dire form, and then they've gone Anfield and won, and then they've got an absolutely brilliant result today. I think the thing that with Palace is that I didn't realise quite how bad our record is at Selhurst Park. I mean, it's woeful, it's dreadful, really. I think we won there once without fans, 2-0, I think, maybe Joe Linton and Callum Wilson. And I think we're maybe going further back than that. I think we won there with Clive Hurt and Bellamy scoring, but I'm not sure how many wins we've had in between that time. It can't be very many. I think a draw would be a really, really good result. It keeps the momentum going. It's another game where we haven't been beaten. Man United might be feeling a bit sore after what's just happened this afternoon, and they've been dragged to penalties by Coventry. So getting any points on the board, which keeps us ahead of them, I think is really important. West Ham seem to have imploded, or the season seems to have imploded. So I think it's really important that we just keep the pressure on them as much as possible. And a draw, I feel like, does that because of how good previously Crystal Palace have been. Well, certainly over the last two games, and with Eze, Elise, and Mateta, they just seem to all be banging form.
Form is definitely something Crystal Palace have on their side, but so did Newcastle United, and Newcastle find themselves one of the form teams in the Premier League. Scoring goals for fun, side, and ultimately we're going to a side who've only won 5 home games all season, including their great win against West Ham this weekend. But really, Si, if Newcastle want to finish 6th, if they want to finish the season as strong as possible, are you thinking you've got to be looking at the kind of bottom 5, bottom 6 in the Premier League and ultimately looking for 3 points? Where do you stand on it, mate?
Yes and no. I don't want to paint this as a must win, because we've done that a lot this season and it's never really ended well. But that's for the reasons you've just described, 3 points here is huge. Not because we absolutely need to win all of our remaining games to finish 6th. I honestly think the league and the teams around us will continue to falter and continue to drop points. But if we can win here, it just takes the pressure off again, doesn't it? And then we've almost, albeit not for the top 4, but for the top 6, we've almost got a situation like last year now, where the last couple of games, you don't want to go into kind of Brentford away on the last day of the season needing to win that game. You want to get the points on the board and get the job done before that day even comes, so that when you go to Brentford, like we did at Chelsea last year, it doesn't really matter. So in that sense, I think getting the points on now, while we're in form, like you say, while we're scoring goals for fun, it would, you know, Palace are hitting a bit of form as well. That's the kind of end of season staying up for the usual patter. We can do something about that. So yes, it is important. It's important that we get something out of this game. I'd probably say 3 points, because there are other tricky fixtures to come. You know, I'm not necessarily including Man United in that, but there are ways we drop points here, and it's other teams will drop points, so let's just get as many as we can as quickly as we can, because I think the going is good at the moment. We don't know, more injuries around the corner. We absolutely have the quality and the advantage of not having played this weekend going into Wednesday to take 3 points, so we should take advantage of that.
Interesting. I kind of like that you're quite bold there, saying we need 3 points. And as one of the things Newcastle have got, or the position Newcastle have got themselves into this season, is they're in a straight shootout now with Manchester United. Same number of points, play each other at Old Trafford. And if we look at Man United's fixtures, they have in the next 2 games, they have Burnley and Sheffield United, starting with Sheffield United the same night that we play Crystal Palace. So even though I totally get where Aldi's coming from, and I think there's a lot of sense in that Newcastle's record at Palace is rubbish, Palace are on as high as they've been on in a few years, really, considering recent performances and results. But is it a case, as do you think, of whatever Man United do, we need to match up better? And Man United, even though it's Man United, probably will beat Sheffield United at home this Wednesday night. So do we need to be doing the same to not fall behind?
Yeah, I agree. I think Manchester United's run-in is very similar to ours, actually. But I think the big key difference they've got is that they've got Arsenal sandwiched in there as well. And we don't have any of the top 3 clubs left to play. I think as long as we keep up with our momentum, so as long as we look at ourselves and think, okay, we haven't strung a run of fixture wins and draws this season very often. In fact, the last time we had any kind of momentum really was back in September. I think we had an 8-game run, starting with the Brentford win at home, and then we had AC Milan, Sheffield United, Man City in the cup, Burnley, then we had the PSG win, West Ham, and then the run ended actually with a 4-0 win at Palace at home. So that was the last time we really had a string of results where we didn't lose. So my argument is actually, I think a draw would be fine just to keep up the momentum. We've gone 4 games since the international break. I actually think I totally changed tact on this game. So I woke up this morning thinking it's going to be a really difficult game against Palace. Then I remember they're actually playing today, and now they've won. They were in quite a precarious position before this game, and that they were kind of just hovering above the relegation area on 33 points. Having convincingly won the game today against West Ham, I think that's pressure off now for Palace. I think they're in a position where they're not quite like, you know, sandals and cigars, but they're close enough. And I think the psychology of that will play into our hands. And I think that might make the game actually easier than the upcoming games against Burnley and Sheffield United, who do have something to fight for.
Yeah, it's really interesting, because Palace, like you correctly say, as no one expected that Liverpool result from Palace. And it's transforming their season. They've got a new manager. There was a little bit of pressure growing in them. I think if they'd stayed clear of relegation, most fans were going to give him the summer and next season anyway. But now, 2 wins out of 2 in the Premier League, I don't have the stats on Palace and when the last time they won 3 games in a row. I'm sure under Bruce, you know, there was a chance for us to win three straight games at one point in the season. It was like, it hasn't been done in, you know, 10 years or something. I think Palace are one of those sides that they win so few games a season generally when you're a bottom 10 side. I just can't really see them winning three in a row. It just seems ridiculous that Crystal Palace could win three in a row. But you have to say they are probably looking at Newcastle. It's still an injury-depleted Newcastle. It's a Newcastle that doesn't have any attacking options on the bench. They're probably thinking, if we're ever going to get three Premier League wins in a row, this is a great opportunity. Really weird thing about Palace, lads, is that all five wins this season at home, they've scored at least three goals. So they kind of like, they have to... I have a feeling that Palace, and I could be wrong, but so far, they don't really know how to grind out a home win. Like, they don't know how for it to be like 0-0 on 75 and then big push from the bench last 10-15. And I feel like Newcastle's last away win at Fulham was that. Stay in the game, classic Premier League away performance, get stronger as the game goes on, and finish the game more strongly. So I think that's in our favour. But back to like the context of the fixture, I just feel like Newcastle, if you look at like the official Premier League form table, it goes in kind of game weeks of five or six, and since game week 29, Newcastle have actually played less than a lot of the other sides in the league because we didn't play this weekend because of the rearranged Man United game. But we're still third in the form table despite having played at least one game less than most other Premier League clubs, and that's pretty remarkable position to be in. And you add into that the fact that we scored four against West Ham, we scored four against Spurs, we could have scored a lot more in both games. I'm really banking on the fact that Newcastle, with this front three of Isak, Gordon and Barnes, assuming the play, of course, because they didn't play it at Fulham, I just feel like that would be too much for Crystal Palace. And on top of that, the form of Elliot Anderson, some players potentially coming back from injury, though we're not sure, and we'll talk about that later in the show. Part of me thinks, you know what, get a point here and take three at home at Sheffield United. You're 4 points in. Your kind of top level Premier League form is continuing. The kind of goodwill from the fan base is continuing. We'll go to Burnley. Everything's fine. But then I also feel like Newcastle are really good at the minute. They can't stop creating chances and scoring goals. When you're in this kind of form and you're playing a bottom six, bottom five Premier League side, you probably have a right to expect and at least go there and think you can get a win. I don't know if it's just kind of the Newcastle United fans in us that think, oh, you know, I'd take a point. Stephen, have we convinced you at all, because you were like there at the outset saying, no, point's a great result from this one.
Well, I suppose I would flip it on its head and say I went to the Spurs game thinking a point would be a good result and we absolutely battered them. So let's just hope that if we go to this game saying a point's a good result, we'll absolutely batter Palace as well. I agree. There's definitely momentum on our side. Take out Paul Dummett's headlock on Ashley Young and we're bouncing at this fixture. We'd have had such a good run of results, and I think, I don't know, that might put us top of the form table if we'd had that performance. Really, my concern about Palace is our front three is absolutely flying. Their front three is absolutely flying. And then how do we line up against that? Because the one weakness that our back four, back five system has shown is a susceptibility to pace, and they seem to have a large amount of it. And that concerns me only because I thought Spurs might take advantage of that. And to be fair, Eddie Howe set up the system absolutely perfectly to make sure they couldn't take advantage of that. Let's hope he's got another plan up his sleeve for Palace, because I think that's going to be really important. Alex, it's interesting you say they've had to score three to win a game. That should be really good news for us, because generally teams don't score three goals against us. Like, on average, teams don't do that, apart from if it's Man City or someone. So I think it's a really positive sign that they're not winning games, like you say, 1-0, 2-1 or whatever, and really grinding out a win. My concern would be they've probably got the one attacking attribute that we don't at the moment necessarily have an answer for.
Yeah, and the referencing that Everton game there is interesting, because that's the game that was the biggest head loss over, and yeah, it was a relatively poor result but a decent performance. But overall, even with the 2 points drop, then Newcastle have only lost two of the last 11 Premier League games. Like, where's that come from? Everyone's been so upset, unhappy, team selection, left-backs, all this kind of stuff. You know, me in this podcast more than anyone, by the way, so I'm not pointing fingers here. apart from myself and you, Si, and everyone else involved with True Faith. But two defeats from 11, I'm obviously handpicking to ignore the FA Cup defeat within that. But in the Premier League, two defeats in 11, it is pretty remarkable considering the mitigation, the injuries and the rest of it. And I just feel like you've got to fancy us. I feel like we've got to go to Palace with plenty of confidence. We're going to get into kind of where the game will be won and lost in a moment, but I don't know. I think that Newcastle got a great chance. If we win at Palace, can you imagine bouncing to Sheffield United on the Saturday, and then we're starting to get in the kind of fantasy territory of two defeats in 13, so many wins in a row, just those drop points against Everton. But yeah, we're going to leave it there for part one because we've kind of talked up the win, hopefully enough, in this one. And after some adverts, we'll come back with what actually might happen in the football match.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/BlueWire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
It's part two of the show. We have to talk about how Newcastle are actually going to approach this crucial fixture. As surely after what we did against Spurs, what we did against Wolves earlier in the season, what we did against Fulham, and Fulham is probably the more important of those because it was away from home. Surely it's like another case of, there you go, Crystal Palace, you have 65% of the ball. Thanks very much. We're going to counter-attack you to fuck with our unbelievably rapid pace at the top. Balls over the top. Bruno Guimarães getting his head over the ball, hitting it long in behind their defenders, hit them on the counter-attack. Can you see any other way from Howe that he's going to approach this one? Because we all expected this at Chelsea when Newcastle had a couple of good results, and then he went out and tried to press them high and play a possession-based game, and we got turned over ourselves on the counter-attack. How do you think Howe will approach this one? As
I mean, you'd hope that Howe has learned his lessons from those previous mistakes earlier this season. It'd be fascinating to see if he does actually change it to do anything any differently. To me, I mean, you mentioned Palace being 65%. They actually had about 61% possession today against West Ham, which would be absolutely perfect for us. And just cookie cutter, same game plan as before. Hit them on the counter. I'm sure they're aware, given how the high line that Spurs played last week, probably not to do that. But ultimately, if we let them have the ball, I mean, Audie mentioned around lack of pace at the back, and their pace being able to hurt us. If we can play the likes of Hall and Livramento at fullback, I think that will give us a really good, not just attacking outlet, but also the ability to stop their threats and them from counter-attacking us. What is that mad stat as well with Gordon Barnes and Isak? When they're playing together, we always seem to pose a threat. So I really hope whatever the game plan is that those three actually start. I do think as well, I don't know what the instruction was for Bruno, honestly, in the last 12 games or whatever, where he hasn't picked up a booking, but he can pick up a booking now, which is great because it means we may actually have a little bit more bite in midfield. Anderson's made a massive difference in terms of protecting our back four as well. So, yeah, I think overall he's got to go with a counter-attacking style. I just hope that we start the game not the way we started the game against Fulham, where that first 20 minutes, if you look at how Palace started today, their first 20 minutes, they were 3-0 up. If we start like how we started against Fulham and they start how they started today, we can find ourselves 3-0 down in this game. So we need to make sure that we're solid. I'd be really interested to see how Howe plays it in terms of against Fulham. He left a couple of people on the bench, didn't he? He left Barnes and Anderson on the bench and brought them on, and we finished strongly. It'd be fascinating to see if he does something similar in this game, kind of keep it tight and then second half kind of grow into it and maybe nick a goal.
You're right. He has less options with Willock being out for the season now, and I don't think Wilson will be back for this one in terms of an option up front, and then fullbacks will come on to, I suppose. First of all, I'll give you the option initially just to kind of agree, disagree with Ez, how you think he'll do it. But then also, we did see a formation change against Spurs, a real big formation change. Do you think he just goes back to the way it always has been, 4-3-3, assuming that he's going to play a kind of recovered Livermento or Hall at left back? How do you think he'll go, mate?
There's lots of questions there that I think are quite hard to answer, because generally speaking, I agree with everything Ez said. I think we do have to kind of stick to the same kind of style. I agree entirely that if we do what we did against Fulham for the first half an hour, Palace, based on today's result, have got the quality to put away some chances, and we can't leave ourselves that vulnerable. That said, as we keep saying about a lot of these kind of mid-table Premier League teams, their key players turn up some weeks and they don't others. And, you know, they've turned up today on a Sunday afternoon at home. Maybe they won't on Wednesday and maybe they'll start missing chances. The last time they did that, they had Luton at home a few weeks back. They drew 1-1. They had about 25 shots and about 3 on target. You know, so they've got it in them to do what Fulham did, which is to have a lot of opportunities and not really do much. But I think it would be risky to concede that many chances on goal to a side like Palace, who are hitting a bit of form. In terms of the back four, I think the Livramento question is a really difficult one, because that dynamic setup against Spurs was so good. It felt like we'd cracked what we've been trying to crack all season with how to set up this team to be both hard to beat and also have a threat. I also know that Eddie Howe rewards loyalty, so I find it hard to see him dropping anyone from that Spurs game, even if it is to get Livramento back on the team. I mean, we know he doesn't really like to pick Livramento anyway, unless he absolutely has to. So I can't see him bringing those lads back in. I think he goes with the same 11. But that said, there was the question around how we approached the Fulham game, where we kept Barnes and Anderson at the time on the bench as impact players, and they did that. They impacted the game, and it turns out we did need to win it in the last 20 minutes. So with Spurs, it was quite clear we went out to win the game in the first half, and we did. We put the game quite quickly. We won it by 55 minutes in the end. Does he do the same, or is he going to try and keep something back? And like you say, he could bring Livramento back into right back, put Murphy back forward, and keep Barnes as your impact sub, as he has been quite effective away from home. But is that harsh on Barnes? Is that harsh on any of those lads who just beat Spurs 4-0? I'm leaning towards he picks the same team as Spurs, and therefore we see that kind of dynamic 3-4-3/4-3-3 that worked so well. And I think Postecoglou couldn't work it out. This new Palace lad is going to struggle with it, and I think he stays the same for the game. And you know, we've got goals in that front five, whether or not Barnes starts, with Anderson and Bruno in midfield as well. There's quality there to really hurt anyone with any one of those players picking out a pass to any one of that front three. It's just I think we set up hard to beat, as we were against Spurs, and just let those lads be the threat that they are and score goals.
I think the only thing that Si said there, which I think might actually make Howe think about what he's doing, is that Barnes probably had his least effective game against Spurs. I thought he was excellent when he came on against Fulham. I thought he was pretty good against Everton. I felt against Spurs, the twice he got in, he seemed to doubt himself and he checked back on himself twice and actually allowed the Tottenham defender to recover. There's one chance where Gordon could have put him through and Gordon just didn't lift the ball high enough to get over Romero. But other than that, I felt Barnes was quite quiet, apart from Pedro Porro being so scared of him that he sliced the ball to Anthony Gordon and marked in the box. There's an argument there for saying that you put Gordon on the left and you put Murphy on the right. Or there's an argument for saying you save Murphy to be your, in inverted commas, impact substitute. Because I think Livramento probably offers you as much going forward and definitely more defensively than Jacob Murphy does. I don't think Lewis Hall comes back in, only because Eddie Howe's shown a reticence to pick Lewis Hall when he's had no other options and Lewis Hall's been 100% fit. I don't think Hall's going to be 100% fit, so I'd be a little bit nervous about him coming back in. I thought Anderson was absolutely brilliant, a sort of a left wing back slash left-sided central midfielder. So I can't see him wanting to mess that about with that, because I thought that was a sign of what Anderson could be for us. And his physicality was very Joe Linton-esque, which covers quite well for that left back slot and provides a cover that Dan Burn's pretty much been missing all season when he's been down that side. In terms of the Bruno situation, I hope someone tells him that he's got another six games and he can't get a yellow card. Because as much as we keep going on about, oh, you know, he's been absolutely outstanding. Like, this is the best I think he's ever played for us. And he hasn't had to put in any of those stupid little, I'm just going to kick somebody used to try and fire myself up nonsense. Like, he's been absolutely brilliant. And yeah, he's played a little bit within himself. But I wouldn't say that midfields have been running past us at will, because he's been having to time everything absolutely perfectly. And I think Elliot Anderson coming back is a real strength for him, because that allows him to be the more physical one in midfield. I would go with exactly the same lineup, 4-3-3, 4-3-5-3-2. I don't know what it was. Like, I don't even want to put numbers in positions, because I can't really explain what they were doing. But what I would say is that if Murphy were to drop out for Livramento, I wouldn't be surprised. What I would be surprised was if he changed anything in the midfield three, because like you said, Alex, now Willock's out for the season. I don't see there being any other option, and I don't see him plucking Joe White off the bench to make his debut in a Premier League game at Selhurst Park. There is a rumour that Callum Wilson might make the bench for Wednesday. If that were to happen, does that change things slightly? Does he consider that he can have those three and then play Wilson as his impact sub for the last 20 minutes? Maybe. And I think if that happens, that makes a massive difference, because I think he does start the same front three as started against Spurs. But a lot of it depends on how fit they really are, and does he back Livramento or Wilson to be able to play 20, 30, 40 minutes, or maybe even longer.
Interesting. Imagine if Bruno got sent off after missing all of the after not getting booked for so long. That would be peak Newcastle United. Interesting point you make, though, Audie, because I think he's been so good because his positional stuff has been so much better when Newcastle United are defending, because he can't be caught wrong side, because once they're past him, he can't pull anyone back. He can't be making slide tackles from behind, and we have grown more defensively solid as a result of that, with him playing just in front of the back four. I think I disagree with you, lads, because it's still a case of, as well as Emil Kraft played at right centre back, if there's an opportunity to, I mean, Kieran Trippier is another one who could be back. Very hard to keep him out of the side, but you know, if we assume that Dan Burn is going to be, you know, left centre back, I just feel like keeping someone like Kraft in the team when you don't have to, as well as he did against Spurs, it's just a risk, because one of the things Palace fans have been kind of saying, or some people watch Palace fans have been saying, is, okay, how have they changed under Glasner compared to the previous manager? Well, for the vast majority of Hodgson's latter reign, he didn't have Eze and Elise on the pitch together, and Palace are just a completely different attacking side when those two play football together at the same time. And if we're going to, and if our kind of counter to that is Emil Kraft, I'm just not entirely sure. It's a risk that you can take, because if it doesn't come off, It looks, you know, very, very difficult indeed. Now, we actually kept a clean sheet at Fulham. I know everyone talks about the horrific opening first 20, and that's fair enough, but we did keep a clean sheet in our last Premier League away game. And if you've got Burn and Shaw to play centre-back, and you've got Livramento, Hall, and possibly Trippier, and even Kraft as kind of four options at full-back, I just feel like playing Elliot Anderson as a hybrid wing-back away from home at a kind of side full of confidence with pace, throughout the side, or certainly in attacking areas. I'm just not too sure how that would work. Now, I could be completely wrong, and how, you know, Newcastle could have been training this all week. It could be the new solution moving forward for Newcastle United. But I think Eddie Howe came up with a solution to Tottenham based on the lack of players that he had. I think he'll go back to 4-4-3-3 myself. I also think that in midfield, now, Palace have got this young lad, Wharton, who's doing very, very well for them. He went off with a knee injury against West Ham, so we're not too sure if he'll play. But him and Hughes in midfield, I feel like that's a possibility for Newcastle, because they're two players who really like to play the ball. I really think Elliot Anderson, you know, Bruno Guimaraes, and even Sean Longstaff will fancy themselves against those two if they can isolate those two. Palace play a very similar system to how Newcastle played against Spurs. They play with three centre-backs under this new manager. So Newcastle could stay the same to match up against them, but also I just feel like there's turnover opportunities there in midfield with our physicality against like a kid and Will Hughes, who's been around a long time but isn't known for being a particularly physical footballer. He wants to get on the ball, he wants to drive forward, he's not too good defensively. So to exploit that, I feel like 4-3-3 might be the best option. And we had these discussions on this podcast before Fulham and after Fulham. I just feel like Harvey Barnes, now he's fit, now he's in the team, just need to play. We just need to play him. We need to get him match fit, which he should be by now. He had a quieter game against Spurs. Chances are he'll have a better one this time. And I want Anderson and Barnes to play as much as possible together. And, you know, I think Palace would be happy. If Harvey Barnes is on the bench, Palace are happy, in my view. Although they've got to deal with them from the bench, the game could be out of sight by then. The game could be won by then. Like we've said, Palace like to blow sides away at home. As your point earlier about the possession they had against West Ham. West Ham probably thinking, if we go in there today and Palace have 65% of the ball, we're doing all right here. They're playing how we want them to play. Different proposition when they've got those two lads I referenced in the team at the same time playing well. And they're fit. They caused Liverpool all sorts of problems. And it's a really interesting one because... I think you said it, Si, Newcastle can't start the game like they did against Fulham. They'll just get beat. Most likely the form Palace are in, they'll just get beat if that happens. Even though Palace are below Fulham in the table, they're playing much better football at the minute, a lot more confidence, probably better attacking players. And it's going to be a real tough one for Howe and the players to kind of go out there, keep things tight. But even against Spurs and against West Ham and against Wolves earlier in the season, when this kind of you have the ball approach worked, and PSG as well at home, we still pressed really high when they have the ball in their final third. It's more when the ball is in midfield or the other teams in midfield, we're going to drop off. I just feel like Crystal Palace are a dangerous side to do that against because their players are they're not like Spurs to an extent, but they're definitely not like Wolves, where they are quite comfortable receiving the ball in tight areas, kind of with their backs to goal, players making runs off them. So be really interesting to see what happens, but I feel like it's a classic Premier League game where I feel like Newcastle are going to have to score first probably to win the game, but that's the case in most games at this level. But you don't want to go behind, particularly if you're playing, you know, three at the back system or trying to play counter-attack and football and you don't have a bench realistically to affect the game from. Things are going to be very difficult indeed. Is there anything else you lads can think of in team selection, or do you think, I mean, Howe's has got to go with what he's got to go. I mean, you know, I'll put one to you, Si, because you just want to talk, so I'll give you an extra question to think about. Haller, if he is going to play a proper left-back, Haller, Livramento, who are you picking?
I was just about to advocate for not changing the back four because it's as settled, as ridiculous as it sounds, as it has ever been. You know, in the last three games, bar, as we all keep talking about, Paul Dummett having a moment of madness. They deserve three clean sheets, really, for the last three games. So it's really hard to... That's probably as many clean sheets as we've had the rest of the season. That's not a stat I know, but, you know, it's something like that. Yeah, I suppose Hall was left-back in the two other games, wasn't he? So he probably is the more natural left player. We know that if it is a case of choosing a left-back and going for a solid back four again, he'll probably go with Livramento because that's the order of things he seems to have chosen this season. Abby Livermore has played absolutely fine at left back, but I think Lewis Hall just looks a bit more natural there. And I know you, Dodds in particular, don't like to see too many players out of position. It's a funny one with Kraft because yeah, he was appalling against West Ham, and then he's been absolutely fine of a really solid defence the last three games. So either at right back or right centre half. It's, I don't think Howe's going to want to mess with it too much. I think you're right to identify the threats that Palace have, but you know, Spurs came to St James's Park with Son and Maddison coming at us, and they couldn't get a sniff at goal with the way we set up. So why wouldn't you want to just keep it the same and keep them out and then us grow into the game? So in terms of selection, I probably wouldn't pick either Hall or Livramento. I'd want to keep the same. If you give me that choice, I would say Hall based on the way we've defended the last few games. But then Livramento is, I suppose, a little bit of an impact sub because he's got something about him going forward. He can beat a man, he can get to the touchline, he can put balls in. So if he's just coming back from injury, that's maybe an off-the-bench option for us. Hall doesn't have 90 minutes in him ever, so who knows if he'd start the game. But yeah, Barnes is an interesting one, and yeah, I know you always advocate for him starting fixtures because he cost nearly 40 million quid, and he did get 90 minutes or 88 minutes or whatever it was against Spurs, so yes, in theory he should now be able to start a football match and finish a football match. I don't know, like at Fulham, it's going to be a different dynamic to the Spurs game. I don't think we're going to come out the traps as quick as we did against Spurs. I think this is going to be a bit of a attritional game, and then we try and beat them on the break and try and beat them as the game goes on. So maybe we do need something off the bench.
I'd play Hall at left back only because we've just paid £28 million, or we're going to pay £28 million for him to be left back. So there's very little point in spending the money on someone to be your left back for the next however long if you're not going to play him there when he's available and there's a gap at left back. I think, like Si says, if you want to reward loyalty, which Eddie Howe normally does, I think you'll probably leave both of them on the bench still. But I think if you're going to go back to a natural back four and nobody wants us to shift Dan Burn back to left back, I would play Hall. I think Howe would probably play Livramento because he trusts him defensively clearly more than he trusts Lewis Hall at the moment. That's the reason why Hall's only been getting in the team when Livramento's been needed at right back because Trippier has not been available. But if we're going to trust the lad to be left back, say next season, because Matt Target seems to have disappeared off the face of the earth again, I think it's really important that he gets game time, like you said about Anderson, like you said about Barnes. If we're going to play them, they're going to maximise. Right, well, same needs to be true for Lewis Hall. If he's fit, if he's available, we need him out on the pitch as much as we can do, because these six games are an opportunity for him to see, right, how does that left side function with him in it? And what you don't want to do is say to him, oh, well, we think you're the left back for the future, but if you could just sit on and just come on for the last 5 minutes of injury time again, because we're not giving the lad the opportunity to prove himself, because we're not even giving him games with the under-23s when he could be going down to play that. So I think if he's fit and if he's available and we're playing a left back, a natural left back, Lewis Hall has to play for me.
Yeah, I'm in total agreement with that. I think with Lewis Hall, a lot of it will come down to whether Trippier is fit. I think Howe, in his last press conference, alluded to the fact there were three players potentially on the cusp of returning. I don't know who those three players are, obviously, but I'm assuming one's Trippier, possibly Wilson, and maybe Joe Linton. I'm hoping possibly Joe Linton. But if it is Trippier as one of those three, and he comes in at right back and is fit enough to start, then you'd probably think he'd play Livramento if you just look at the pecking order in how he selected players in the past. One thing's for sure, though, whether it's Hall or Livramento, we definitely need our paciest players to compensate for Cher and Burns' lack of pace. Alex, you alluded earlier on to Eze and Elise barely playing together, that today was their second start all season together, and you can see that they are absolutely devastating. And between them two and Mateta, I think they've got 28 goals or 27 goals between them in the Premier League this season. So they're not prolific as a team, but those three, you know, we're going to need to look after them. The Eze and Elise thing, by the way, barely playing together, did remind me of like when we had Saint-Maximin and Wilson. Like when we had them playing together, we actually played all right, but they were our two most injury prone players we've had in the last few seasons. They'd never get them on the pitch together. But yeah, for me it'd be Lewis Hall if the case is that Trippier is not fit to start.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Let's finish the show then with predictions for this one. Audie, I'll start with you, mate. What's the score going to be and why?
ever optimistic, I'm going to go for a 2-2 draw. I think there will be goals in it because I don't think either team can defend. I think even today when they were absolutely dominating West Ham, they showed that they had gaps in the defence. I really think that our front three will score goals, does score goals. Isak is on such a roll that trying to keep him quiet is going to be nigh and impossible for them. My worry is that if we do go to a four, I think we'll get done for pace. I'm hoping we don't go to a four, and I'm hoping to be spectacularly proved wrong yet again by Eddie Howe. But my worry is that they are so quick on the counter, and they've even given Man City two massive scares this season when they've broken against them playing that 4-3-3 system, that if we go in and try and dominate the ball, play 4-3-3 and don't play them on the counter, I think we'll leave gaps for ourselves, and I think they'll be, at the moment, the form they're in, able to pick them off. They could be, like we mentioned earlier, really wasteful in front of goal, but Mateta seems to have actually found some form and managed to stay fit and get goals for them. Maybe Martin Dubravka will have the one game where he like saves everything, like Tim Krul at Spurs away all those years ago, and we'll come away with a 2-1 or a 2-0. But I just think at the moment, even I've never got confidence going into games that we're going to keep a clean sheet, despite the fact we've only conceded one goal in our last three. I've never got confidence that we're going to keep a clean sheet. So I'm going to go for a 2-2 draw with the hope that, as I predicted, a draw against Spurs, I'm proved spectacularly wrong.
I think I predicted high-scoring games both at Fulham and Spurs in terms of both teams love to score goals, so we're going to see lots of goals here. So I'm going to do the same in the hope that it results in another narrow victory for Newcastle. I just think, yeah, you're absolutely right, Audie. Our front three, whether it's Barnes or Barnes off the bench, there's goals in them, and I just think Isak's hitting the kind of form that's scary. He's probably having a look at that top scorer for the Premier League. If they do that, that can be me. And top scorer. He's absolutely good enough. So yeah, I think Isak will be sniffing goals. I think Barnes will want another goal. You know, he seems to have a couple of games where he doesn't score, then he's straight back on the score sheet. Gordon as well deserves more goals than he's had recently. So between them, there's got to be one or two goals in there. I've got a funny feeling about Elliot Anderson breaking his duck as well. He's been getting closer and closer. Maybe he's the one that gets the winner here. But yeah, I mean, in terms of winning the game, there's only been two managers in Newcastle's Premier League history that have lost at Crystal Palace away, and they both have the first name Steve, and we're not fond of either of them. So there's no way Eddie Howe becomes one of those managers for me. We're going to win the game. I honestly think this defence is looking really solid. I think a 2-0 or a 2-1, but I'll say 2-0 because I'm confident.
Well, okay, so I kind of stole my thunder a little bit because I was going to say Anderson as well to get on the score sheet. The other day when he played, I think it was against Spurs, the commentator said he's still looking for his first Premier League goal. And I was like, oh yeah, he hasn't actually scored. He did score, but it was ruled out. And it kind of really pissed me off. Like, surely, a bit like when Miggy broke his duck against Palace, surely Anderson will do the same in this game. And I'm not just saying this because I'll be there. I think it will finish 2-0. I think we'll score a couple of early sucker punch type goals. I think we'll kind of come at Palace. They won't really necessarily expect it. I genuinely believe the psychology of this game has changed based on Palace's result today. I think they'll take their foot off the gas. You know, right until the last couple of games for Palace, we would have been strong favourites. And I don't really think anything changes. I still think we're the strong the favourites for this game. This is a team, this is a team that have played Everton four times this season and haven't won a single game. Drawn two, lost two. They've lost more than they've won at home. And apart from the Liverpool away game, Man United away game, they've pretty much lost against all of the big teams that you'd expect them to lose against. They haven't picked up a single point at home against the current Big Six. And they concede goals for fun. I think we feel like we've conceded goals this season for fun at times. In fact, we've conceded a hell of a lot of goals this season. They've still conceded four more goals than us. So despite their good run of form, I still make us a strong favourite. And I would be very surprised if we don't come out with the 3 points.
Love the positivity, lads. And it's hard to disagree. I kind of think as much as what I think the score is going to be, I want to try and imagine how Newcastle will win the game. And I think the Fulham performance and win is just kind of template stuff for how Newcastle are going to do it. And if this game is an end-to-end game, Palace will win, in my opinion. I think they'll have too much for us on their home ground with the players we've talked about. But if Newcastle can frustrate them, if Newcastle can be in the game at half time, then I'd expect us to kind of push them back. You know, we're the team who've had a 10-day rest, unlike Palace. Palace players not used to playing twice a week, three times a week. Palace after this, because they've played a game more than us, you know, Palace after this, they've got a lot of winnable games. They haven't got any really hard games left this season. So they've got Fulham, Man U at home, Wolves away, and Villa at home. Villa will be the hardest fixture out of those ones. But it's at home. I just feel like Palace will be looking at this one thing and draws a great result here. You know, keeps the run going, keeps the positivity going. Newcastle are a good side. Yes, the injury crisis and the missing players means it's an opportunity to beat them. But I think the fact that Palace think, a bit like Fulham when we played them, Fulham were probably fine with the draw in that fixture as well, and we ended up nicking it. So I'll go 2-1 Newcastle with a winner in the last 10 for me. It will be tough with the lack of a bench, and we'll have to see who's back. Like, you know, all of these previews this season, it's hard to pick the team because you know which injured players are close to coming back. I think someone like Kieran Trippier takes Newcastle to another level. But yeah, you know, I feel momentum is with Newcastle now. Eddie Howe's Newcastle sides have been, you know, very good with momentum. When they get the bit between their teeth, when they get playing well, they're very hard to dislodge, and they go on these kind of runs at the end of seasons. We saw it in season 21-22 and season 22-23. They won 8-9 and at the end of last season, before the very end of the season, and that really sorted out Champions League qualification. It is going to be fascinating keeping an eye on what Man United do. I mean, West Ham got beat, by the way, to Palace, and it didn't even register to me in terms of them being a competitor to Newcastle moving forward, because I just feel like we're so much better than them at the minute that it is purely between us and Manchester United for that sixth place spot in the league. But we'll leave it there. Thanks to you three. Really appreciate it, lads. Can't wait for this game. Like I said at the start of the show, if you like these previews, well, we've got another 5 coming this season on our Patreon platform for £8 a month, plus loads more this week. Reminder, we've got a few tickets left for our live show at Aspers Casino Newcastle on Friday night before Sheffield United at home. We'd love to see you there. Tickets are available from a link in the description to this podcast.
This podcast is brought to you by Aspers Casino Newcastle, home of the £4 pint on match day. That's all Newcastle home games and any televised Newcastle fixture. The offer applies from midday until midnight on all draft beers. Be gamble aware, over 18s only. Visit begambleaware.org. Be drink aware, and for details and T's and C's, visit aspersnewcastle.co.uk.